Okay, let's read together Judges chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. Ready? Begin. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. May God bless the reading of his word. I'll pray, and then you may be seated. With the Lord's help, we're going to speak about this theme of Samson's moment to mimic. Samson's moment to mimic. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Again, as we were reminded, it is the power, Lord, that we have to be delivered. And we thank you for its power. And we pray right now that once again, you would empty us of ourselves, whether we're listening or speaking, that we would be filled with your spirit. Lord, we pray for those that are unsaved. We know they can't be filled with your spirit until they get saved. We pray today that they would humble themselves and be saved, be redeemed, be delivered. And maybe that would be someone even in these rooms here today that has a knowledge of God, but they've never been born again. I pray that you would make that clear to them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Although we did not read his name in our text, maybe you know which judge we're speaking of. In fact, it is the judge in the Bible that more is written about than any other judge. It's the judge in the Bible that, you know, we think of someone who had this unbelievable, as we looked at earlier, strength from the enemy. And now we look at someone who had this unbelievable strength that was given to him by God. And this is none other than the man by the name of Samson. Samson. Unfortunately, though, if you've read about Samson's life, then you probably have observed that there's a lot about Samson's life that he spent his time trying to please Samson. A lot of his time was all about Samson. I need this woman, he said even to his father, if you've read about that. Get me to her, to wife, and on it goes. And this was not someone, if you looked at the majority of his life, while he was strong and while he was powerful, physically speaking, some might say that spiritually speaking, he was could have been one of the weakest of all the judges. Notice, if you will, just a few other verses in chapter 15, in verse number 11. In verse number 11, much of Samson's life as well kind of revolved around getting even, seeking revenge. And again, we know that even though there is much about Samson's life that we might look at and think, you know, why did God put that in the Bible? Let's remember this. God didn't keep sin out of the Bible and wickedness out of the Bible in the way that men and women lived, okay? This is a record of history, right? This is his story. Much like today, there's not going to be another Bible, okay? This is the finished word of God. That's not what I'm saying. But think about writing today isn't, or even the paper, although whatever. Anyway, online, newspaper, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Everything is recorded, hopefully. And what I'm saying, that's what the Bible is. It's a record of the best of the best, but it's also a record of the worst of the worst, of what and how people live their lives. But again, we saw the transforming power early on of how the Lord Jesus Christ transformed a life. But notice in Judges 15, verse 11, God's word says, Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? And what is this that thou hast done unto us? Notice what he said. Verse 11. As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Well, that's quite the attitude, right? You know, if you do it to me, I'm going to do it back to you. That's not a way to live the life, you know. And so revenge is not typically a way that we want, not typically something that we want in our life. I would say that most of Samson's life, as I've read and learned, and even as I've grown a little bit older, I mean, yeah, I remember learning about Samson as a young person and thinking, wow, that must have been really neat to have all that power, right? All that brute strength, carrying the gates of the city up to the top of the hill and doing all that he did. But again, I have to admit, though, that the more I read and the more I looked at the life of Samson, there's much of his life that I don't want to repeat at all. And I've got so much to work on. This isn't a message picking on Samson. But this is more of a part of zeroing in on a very brief point in Samson's life, and there may have been others, but something that God laid on my heart once again, is to zoom in and consider these moments in Samson's life and how God brought him to a place. And I trust that God is bringing me to this place today. We all have the tendencies of Samson, and we all have the tendencies of other people in the Bible that didn't necessarily live in the things of the Lord all the time. No one does. But here, as we read these verses, and maybe God spoke to your heart as you were just simply reading those verses, that God brought Samson to a place in his life that he realized it wasn't all about living the self life. You know, this doesn't happen one time, by the way. This happens over and over, doesn't it? And we say, God, get me to the place where I realize that in my own flesh and in my own strength, I am no match, as we said, for the enemy. I am no match for temptation. And guess what? I'm no match for me. The greatest enemy I have today is not anyone with skin on that I'm looking at. It's who I look at every morning in the mirror. Me is my greatest enemy. Terrible English, but that's true. If I can have victory over me, then I'm going to go a lot further with God. If you can have victory over you, and I honestly believe this is where God brought Samson, and his life is almost coming to an end, by the way. If you know anything about his life. But let's zero in on this moment in Samson's life that we want to mimic or we want to copy. All right, let's see number one in verse 18. Number one, let's look at Samson's crisis. Samson's crisis. Look at verse 18. He was sore athirst. Wow, is this timely or what? We can relate to that. I had no idea it was going to be the temperature it was going to be today, but God did. So maybe God gave us that for a purpose. He has just killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey or an ass. The battle has brought Samson to a place of being sore athirst. We might say that Samson is experiencing post-battle fatigue. He's tired. He's dehydrated. He's hot, if you will, physically speaking. Judges 15:1 tells us that it was during the time of wheat harvest. And this would have been a very hot time. And it would have been a very physical and exhausting time. And even the great and mighty Samson comes to a place in his life, in verse 18, that he's at a crisis moment. Yes, there's a great victory. Yes, God has delivered him. But yet the Bible says that he is sore athirst. And reality begins to set in. And he says in verse 18, "Shall I die for thirst? I've just killed 1,000 Philistines, but it's going to go down in the journals of all time that the great and mighty Samson, again, he's got to get him to a place of humility. That I'm going to die of not having anything to drink. In other words, I have all this power and I have all this might. But Samson is unable to help himself. He must depend on God. While God gave him the strength to have that great victory, I don't know how much Samson really depended on God. And maybe he did. Maybe I'm overlooking at this morning, but I know what God has spoke to me about, that we can accomplish everything that we want to accomplish, and we can do all that we want to do, but it isn't us at all doing it. I've got to come to the place where I recognize that every drink of water that I have has been given to me by Almighty God. The simplest of things, in other words, I must come to the end of myself, recognizing that God is the great deliverer and God is the one who is the great supplier. Samson was unable to help himself. There wasn't anything Samson could do. And so because of that, notice he says to God, I'm going to fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. This great victory, and yet this is how my life's going to end? Surely not, God. And what I'm saying, though, once again, as I view this, God brought him to a place of complete inability. The sooner we come to that place in our life, the better. John 15:5. Let's go over there quickly. Maybe you've memorized it. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus said, For without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, I've been living the Christian life for 20 years or 25 years, and I can do this and I can do that. And I know we would never say that, but let's be careful that we don't get lulled into this stupor or this, you know, like a spiritual sleep, that we just put it on autopilot and we can just go from Sunday to Saturday and just, you know, open our Bibles for a little while and do this and do that and do this and do that all the while. We're the ones doing it. No, we need to ask the Lord, God, please bring me to a place where I'm sore athirst. Bring me to a place where I recognize that I must get bread from heaven. I must get meat from heaven. I must get what you have for me, because without it, I'm going to fall into the hands of the enemy. And I carry your name. Every breath I breathe, it's dependent on Almighty God. Every step I take is completely out of my control. Well, you know, I know where I'm going. Yeah, but do we recognize this morning that just at any moment, that's it. Breath is gone, heart stops beating, I fall over. Done. God is the one holding me together, and God is the one holding us together, and we love Him and we serve Him, but we must recognize here that Samson has come to a place of great crisis, and I don't want to come to a place of great crisis to recognize that. I want to recognize it right now. I don't want God to have to bring me to the end of myself to recognize that it's He that's doing this thing. No, let Him who has begun a good work in you continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Great crisis. But then we see, thankfully, this great crisis, number two, this great crisis brought Samson to a time, number two, Samson's cry. And that's what we read a moment ago in verse number 18. The smartest thing Samson could do was talk to God. Can I encourage you today? The smartest thing we can do on this day, 27th of June, 2021, is talk to God. Wherever you are in life, whatever's coming, whatever's behind you, talk to God. 27 words he uttered to Almighty God. He speaks much in this prayer, not only about himself, but about his God. Notice letter A, or this first thought under it. It was a cry of humility. Look up at verse 16, please. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. no glory to God, all glory to Samson. But look at verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the who? Spirit of the Lord. Not Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off of his hands. It was the Spirit of the Lord that helped him to win that battle, and not Samson's strength. God strengthened him. Now Samson talks to God and humbles himself before God. And notice what he says in verse 18. Thou hast given. Not I won the victory. Verse 16. Thou hast given me the victory. What a difference. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh, the difference between two verses. It's a startling thing for me again, and I hope for you this morning and you joining us online, that it's always God is the one who's given me this, and God is the one who's brought the victory, and God is the one who's working in my life. It's God who gives us salvation. It's God who gives us the air that we breathe, and on and on and on it goes. Not I did this or I did that, but God, thou hast given me. What a difference. A little bit of time. If God doesn't intervene, Samson's done. By the way, if God doesn't continue to work in my life, and he will, but if God doesn't continue to work in my life, I'm done. I need God. I may have a plan, I may have a calendar, I may have experience, but all of that matters nothing if I don't have God working in my life. If I don't let go of the plans that I might have and say, it's you, Lord. I need you to move. I need you to work. This is your church, God. Please lead it. Help us to follow you. This is your family. This is your ministry. This is all yours, God. We want to live in such a way that we know that it's not of us at all. This is your Baptist Friends Conference coming up, Father. Please be glorified in it. Whoever can come, great. And we want it to be an honor and a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must recognize anew and afresh today that without him, we're hopeless. It was a humble cry. His grace has promised to give us everything that we need. Please turn with me to Ephesians 1, the cry of Samson. The crisis led to the cry. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we trust the Lord is speaking to our hearts, and we recognize his movement. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's given us everything we need. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. Not only that, but notice this cry was a cry of exaltation to God. Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy what? Servant. Verse 18. Now Samson is finally thinking clearly. You've given this victory to me. I am your servant. So what is that doing? It's exalting God. And when we come to God boldly, thankfully, Hebrews 4, but we come to God humbly in the very same way. God, it is June 27th. I have an idea of what I'm supposed to do today, but I yield this day to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life today. I'm your humble servant. What is that doing? That's exalting God in the position that he and he alone deserves in my life. He's the one who has the power we talked about earlier. I have nothing without Him. I'm weak, but when I'm weak, He's strong. Let's look at number three. Thank you for listening. Probably you're sitting at home with a fan right in front of you, maybe. Here, it's starting to warm up a little bit. At least I'm warming up a little bit. So we see the crisis. Great victory, but I'm thirsty, Samson said. Speaking of that, I'm thirsty. Let me get a quick drink. I think that was a subliminal message. My brain said, you better get a drink. You're getting dehydrated. Just a cup of water. I mean, I just whipped 1,000 Philistines, but now I'm going to die for a cup of water? But God was bringing him to a place to cry out. But then, notice we see number three. We see Samson's consolation. God responds. God always responds to humility. Look at verse 19. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. Oh, okay. You're my servant now. I gave you the victory. Okay. Here's a drink. God responds to humility. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again. I like this. And he revived. Now, I believe that's speaking primarily about his physical spirit in the sense of he needed water. He's dehydrated, obviously, to go through that battle. I don't think any of us would understand what that would have been like to go through that battle. And so, yes, he was definitely at the end of himself physically. And so one drink of water from God really made a big difference. But for me, when I read that, I also think about the fact that humility leads to God's provision, which leads to a reviving spirit. Look at the progression there. I did it, and then Samson was thirsty. God did it, God gave it to him, and he was revived. That's what where revival is going to come, is if we get to that place and stay in that place repeatedly where we recognize it's God doing it, it's God doing it. I'm the servant. God's the leader. We follow him, and as he leads us, then the reviving comes. It's a note from someone. It's a verse in the morning that you had no idea was coming in your devotions. It's a text message from someone. It's a lesson in RU. It's a note from a friend. It's an email. It's something that comes in, and it's God reviving us. God consoling us. That's that consolation. God's giving us that out of nowhere. I mean, how does water come from a jawbone? That's a miracle. How did God know I needed a verse this morning? It's a miracle. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that one little verse of Scripture or that one blessing, that simple thing that comes into your life. It's at a time where you didn't realize it, but you were humbling yourself and saying, you're the servant. God, I want to follow you. And then out of nowhere comes that water from out of nowhere, and that revives your spirit and revives you, and on you go. God will respond. Times when we need revival. Times of wickedness, but also times of weakness. I encourage you today, drink deeply from the Word of God. So we see that God responded, but we see that brought a reviving in Samson. When Samson took what God gave him, he received it, and he was strengthened. Yes, it was a physical revival, but as I've mentioned, I believe it was for us to apply in a spiritual way. Verse 19. When he had drunk, his spirit came again. Revived, right? Meaning he was, at one point, he was strong. But Samson's flesh got the best of him. And now he's revived. God brings the crisis, which led to the cry, which leads to the consolation. I'm thankful this morning that our God is sitting there, is in heaven, looking down on us. He's saying, okay, where are we in this journey, this moment like Samson? Are we in the midst of the battle? Okay, remember, it is God which giveth us the victory. You might be in the battle. You might be in that thousand Philistine battle today. Keep pressing on. Keep marching forward. It is God which giveth us the victory. It is God which giveth us the strength. Keep pressing on. Maybe you've just had a great spiritual victory in your life. Okay? Now, beware then too, right? Don't think about it in the fact that you did it. No, go to this reminder and say, God, you're the one that gave me the strength. God, you're the one that gave me the victory. Maybe you're just seeing that water come out of the rock or out of the jawbone. Unique place for it to come. A lot of things we could have said about that, but maybe another time. But you just see that water. Can I encourage you this morning? Take a drink. God's providing it. You've humbled yourself and God is providing it. Take a drink of the water, not for salvation, but for reviving. This book right here, as we said in the early hour, this book needs to be consumed by every believer all the time. Why? Because it will revive. It will re-strengthen. So, a lot about Samson, I would say, you know what? Don't copy that. I come to these three verses and I think, you know what? I can relate and I can say there's a moment that we can all copy in our Christian life. And it's probably a moment you've been to, or it could be a moment that you're heading into right now.